Johnny presents the Philip Morris Playhouse, produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Tonight's star, Vincent Price. Vincent Price as star, we bring you Murder Needs an Artist, tonight's production in the Philip Morris Playhouse.
So you see, D.A., case just sort of dropped in our laps. Oh, excuse me, you want a cigarette?
Thanks. You sent over the phone, there was a confession.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gogarty took it down only about a half hour ago. Yeah, have a look.
George Aloysius Hilton. Who is he, you know?
Oh, a writer of some kind. Never saw him on any bestseller list, but he had imagination, all right. Go on, read it. You see what I mean.
The whole thing began less than 2 months ago while I was working on a new novel. It was to be about the gutter life of New York, but somehow it lacked believability. In desperation, I hit on the idea of spending several days in the typical Bowery flophouse.
I put on my shabbiest suit, locked my apartment, and decided on the Ritz Arms. 15 cents a night. It was a big room with one high window and cots lining all four walls. There weren't any sheets or blankets on the beds. Only moth-eaten threadbare mattresses and a heavy whiskey odor permeated the room. When I came to cot number 13, the cot I'd been assigned, I saw it already had an occupant. Oh, excuse me, but I think this is my cot.
What's that? What's that you say?
This cot. There seems to be some mistake.
Oh, no. There's no mistake. She's dead. She's been dead 20 years. If she weren't, do you think I'd be in a place like this?
I'm afraid you don't understand.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't offer you anything, but you see, this is my butler's night off, and, well, I never was much good at mixing a martini. You'll excuse me, won't you? You must come again soon. It's been very nice chatting this way with you. Very nice.
I took another cot nearby. Oh, this was great. My first 5 minutes in this place, and I had already discovered a character. I had just taken out my notebook and pencil to jot down an idea when somebody on the cot next to mine began coughing, and I turned my head. It was Grace, Christopher Grayson. And yet it couldn't. I sat there absolutely paralyzed. It was insane, impossible. Grayson was dead. He died 6 years ago. Grayson.
Well, what did you say?
Who are you?
Who am I? That is something I would like to know myself.
You are, Grayson.
My dear sir, for a drink I will be anybody you say. How about it, huh? Doesn't have to be a big drink. Just a little drink so high, huh? If you don't, I'll commit suicide, huh? I'll jump right through that window.
Was pointing at a solid wall. I gave him a dollar bill and he collapsed into an ecstatic stupor. He looked exactly like Grace. Of course, I'd only met him a few times at parties, but his was a face you didn't forget, that it couldn't be. I sat down on my cot and thought of Grayson. Grayson, who'd slaved at his canvases all his life without making a penny and then burned to death in a cheap hotel room with his paintings all around him. Grayson, whose work was fabulous now. Another genius recognized too late. Suddenly the Ritz Arms became very depressing. And then I saw them. Under his cot, I saw them, the half-crumpled sheets of paper. I picked them up. They were sketches, penciled, rough drafts for paintings. Rough drafts that proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that this derelict was Christopher Grayson. I bent over him and shook him hard.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Oh, it's you. You gave me this dollar.
Yes, but never mind that now. These sketches, did you do them?
Oh, what if I did?
But they're good. You studied somewhere. You must have. Don't you remember where?
I remember only brands of beer.
And look, try to think. Have you ever painted with oils?
Oils? I haven't touched oil since...
Yes, go ahead.
It's funny, I don't know why I said that. Things like that just come to me sometimes, especially when I haven't had a drink. I think I'll go outside and get a drink right now.
No, wait a minute. Don't go. I just got an idea.
Eh?
Look, how would you like to have a drink anytime you wanted?
Are you kidding?
No, I mean it. How would you like a scotch and soda or a straight rye or a brandy?
Stop it! What are you trying to do to me?
Look, it's yours if you'll come with me.
Quiet. I'm trying to get my rest. Look. Should I, you know?
Look, maybe I'm not quite bright, but why this sudden interest in me?
Well, you see, I'm a writer.
Oh.
Yes, I'm doing a book on the Bowery, and I thought maybe...
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You want to use me as a subject?
Well,
right?
No, not exactly.
You want to take me like you would a filthy little germ, stick me under a microscope to see what makes me tick. Well, don't you?
Look, I'm sorry if I've offended you.
Offended me? Oh, no. You've only insulted my human dignity, that's all. I'll take the job. I'll do anything for a drink. I've sunk that low.
Grayson spent the night with me in my rooms, a bottle in his lap. Early the next morning, while he was still out cold, I made some purchases at Hobart's Art Supply Center off Third Avenue.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, I think so. How much is that?
Oh, well, let me see. One easel, oils, canvases, brushes, $64.92.
Oh, well, here you are.
Hilton, well, don't tell me you've taken a painting.
Oh, Myers. And what if I am? Any objections?
No, none whatever. As a matter of fact, it seems like a prudent move on your part, George. You read the Chronicle, Carruthers' review of your last, you'll pardon the expression, novel.
I always make it a point to avoid dull reading.
But the Chronicle's readers aren't so discriminating. And after all, Carruthers is on the board of the Novel of the Month Club. That's not good, George. That's not good.
One of these days, somebody's going to get fed up with your smug little innuendos, and the Chronicle would be minus one art editor.
That a threat, George.
Call it a warning.
Excuse me, sir, but you're changed.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Well, it's been nice seeing you, George. Oh, and good luck in your new career. No, seriously, who knows? You may be America's next Christopher Grayson.
I could have throttled him where he stood. Not only because, like so many other stupid people, he couldn't understand my books. No, I hated him even more because of Carol. You see, we were both after the same woman. When I got back to the apartment, Grayson was still asleep. I unwrapped the materials I'd bought and set them carefully in the next room where he could easily bump into them. And then I woke him up.
Where is this? Who are you?
I'm George Hilton. Remember, I picked you up yesterday in a Bowery flophouse. This is my place.
Ah, yes, I remember now. Oh, what a head.
I've got to step out for a little while, but make yourself at home. Wash up, raid the icebox. I'll dissect you later.
Huh?
Oh, we made a bargain yesterday. You were to tell me all about life in flophouses, and I was going to stand your living expenses.
Well, a bargain's a bargain, I always say. Oh, bring back another bottle of this stuff here, will you? It packs a beautiful wallop.
I purposely stayed away over 2 hours. This was the acid test. A real artist never forgets. His technique remains part of him always, like a passion for a beautiful woman. That's how it was with Grayson. When I returned, he was mixing oils. He'd already drawn some preliminary lines, and there was a feverish gleam in his eyes, as if he'd just been reunited with the one thing in the world he loved. And he saw me and stopped.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. When I saw these, I
Well, it was just like sleepwalking. I can't explain it. It just happened. Well, I guess I've ruined your canvas.
Ruined? Why, you're making it come to life. Say, go ahead, finish it. You know what they say about mental associations? Well, maybe your memory will come back to you.
I can keep painting you. You don't mind?
Mind? No, I don't mind. A week passed. In between brandies, he was painting more and more. I knew that soon now he would actually complete a picture. There must have been something in my voice, because when I called Carol up, she said...
George, you sound like the cat that swallowed the canary. What's up?
Something big, Carol. I can't tell you what just yet, but...
My, how mysterious can we get?
If it comes out right, you'll get all the things I've always wanted to give you.
Really? Am I to suppose the rich aunt is dying and you have great expectations?
Oh, look, why must you... Can't you ever take me seriously?
Sorry, darling.
If you must know, I'm expecting money from...
Yeah?
From another source.
Oh, George, another novel. No offense, you're a marvelous writer, darling. It's just that you don't seem to give the public what it likes.
What the publishers think it likes, you mean?
Well, they're the ones who pay you, aren't they? George, darling, you're
Hello, sweetie.
George, I'll have to ring off now. Teddy Myers is here. We're off to Gypsy's for Spanish food.
Goodbye. Days later, Grayson's picture was done. I don't think any picture was ever finished quite the same way. Two brush strokes and a drink. Two more brush strokes and another drink. That was about the temple. I held it in my hands. It was the real article, all right. Then suddenly I noticed, down in the corner, down in the right-hand corner, were the initials CG.
Hey, what happened to that bottle of scotch? What happened to it?
Never mind the scotch.
Oh, I see. It's on the... Hey, let go of me.
Not until you explain this.
Explain? What are you talking about?
These initials. Why did you put in these initials?
Initials? What do you mean, initials, initials? I don't see any... What do you know? I wonder why I did that.
Stood there swaying. Then all of a sudden, the brush dropped out of his hand and he slid to the floor, passed out, drunk. But I knew now I had to get him to work faster. I had to have more paintings before he regained his memory. When I had them, well, he had risen from the dead like Lazarus. He'd be dead again soon. This time he would stay that way, and I'd be rich.
Heard Act One of Murder Needs an Artist, starring Vincent Price. Now, Vincent Price in Act Two of Murder Needs an Artist, tonight's production in the Philip Morris Playhouse.
Several days later, I paid Maggots a visit. He was the biggest art dealer in town. But I can still remember the look on his face when he unwrapped the package I'd brought with me.
This painting. Where did you get this painting?
Well, I bought it from Grayson 6 years ago, just before his death. He sold me a number of paintings. You like it?
Like it? It's magnificent.
One of the best, I'd say.
Well, not exactly. I mean, there is some careless brushwork here and there, but the subject matter... This is a new Grayson. Grayson the morbid, the decadent. Grayson the post-impressionist.
How much?
Oh, how can you talk about money at a time like this? It's superb. $4,000.
What do you think I am, a fool?
Well, $10,000.
Oh, you're joking. Why, even the publicity is worth that much, do you?
Well, I'll give you $15,000, no more. Provided, of course, you give me first option on any others you have.
$20,000 or I go somewhere else.
Oh, all right, but... When can I see the others?
In due time, Maggot. In due time. The next day, it was all in the papers. On Sunday, Ted Myers wrote a learned dissertation on the social significance of Grayson's last period and how Grayson symbolized the frustration of the 20th century. Myers, always so sure of himself, always so condescending. And not more than a few hours after Myers' column hit the newsstands, I heard from Carol.
Darling, I've been reading all about it. Why on earth didn't you tell me?
I tried to, Carol, but you wouldn't listen, remember?
Oh, but, George, I didn't dream. I thought it was just another impractical scheme. Look, darling, why don't you drop by my apartment tonight? Say about 8? I'll be alone. We can talk.
I'll be there.
Don't be late, then. Bye, darling.
Money. Now that I had money, Carol was mine. I knew that. She wormed a diamond bracelet out of me that evening. At least I promised to get her one. She never even once mentioned Teddy. All the next week, I let Grayson pretty much alone. He paid it like a madman, a strange, almost crafty look in his eyes. He was interested in nothing but his painting and his bottle. But it was getting to be a race against time.
Murder in the cabin. Murder in the cabin.
What's that?
Murder in the cabin. I don't know. It's a title or something.
Why do you think it's a title?
I don't know why. It doesn't mean anything, but I...
But what?
Well, somehow I'm sure it has something to do with me. My past, I mean.
You see what I mean now by a race against time? Murder in the Cabin was one of his most famous paintings. Every day now he said things like that, recalled things that convinced me he was regaining his memory. I couldn't take chances now. So I rented a cabin in the Catskills and drove up with Grayson. We got moved in, and then after a few days I left him there, locked in, and came back to town to get some clothes I'd left in the apartment.
Hello, George.
Myers.
Aren't you going to let me in?
What do you want?
Calm, calm. That's no way to talk to a friend who's about to save you from a prison sentence. That's better.
What are you talking about?
Nice place you have here, George. A bit bourgeois, but... nice chair, too. Comfortable.
Get to the point.
By all means. George, it pains me to say this, but you are a liar, a kidnapper, and a thief. Get out of here. When I saw you buying art equipment, I thought it strange that a man who's always expressed his aversion to painting should suddenly undergo a change of heart.
You thought it strange, well?
Yes, I merely thought it strange. However, when you foisted a Grayson on Maggard 4 weeks ago, I became suspicious. So for the past week, I've been, to put it crudely, shadowing.
Myers,
you... Now, I could have given you away the other morning, after I saw you leave that cabin of the Catskills. After I looked in at the window and saw Christopher Grayson.
How much do you want?
Well, cash doesn't interest me, George. I want to be your partner.
I don't understand.
You have a clever little scheme, George. Clever. It has distinct possibilities.
Yes, but not very much longer. Grayson's recovering his memory.
Oh, he has amnesia?
Yes, yes, but it's only a matter of time before he finds out who he is.
No, we have to work fast. How many pictures has he done?
5. Look, but see here, I haven't...
My dear fellow, you have no choice. As for our little past differences, well, let's let bygones be bygones, huh?
Yes. Why not?
That's the attitude.
Two heads are better than one, they say.
Of course. Oh, I want to meet Grayson, George. Shall we drive up to your cabin? My car's outside.
All right. Just as soon as I get out some sherry, we ought to drink to our new friendship.
Splendid, George. You know, I have the feeling this is going to be a long and fruitful association. In fact, I have the perfect name for us. Christopher Grayson Incorporated. A little cold. Sherry should fix me up.
Yes. It should. Better take it easy around those corners.
Not afraid, are you, George?
No, but...
That's the trouble with you, George. You lack backbone.
Now, there's such a thing as recklessness. Well, for instance, weren't you afraid I might kill you when you came to blackmail me?
You kill me? No, you're just not the type, George.
I'm not?
No. Oh, you might be capable of jaywalking or even shoplifting, but murder...
What's the matter? Are you getting sleepy?
Oh, I
Girl, Stanton. I had 10 hours sleep last night.
Easy now. Just let's get over to the side of the road here. It's all right. Relax. That's it. Then I'll take the wheel.
Oh, it's all right. I just... thanks, you. You can take the wheel.
I'd stopped the car just on the edge. The drop off the mountain was a good 2,000 feet. Myers was still slumped against the steering wheel. The sleeping powder I'd emptied into his sherry was working perfectly. I got out of the car quickly. I looked up and down the road. No cars in sight. I propped Myers up behind the wheel. Then I started the car. And just as it reached the edge, I jumped clear. It was better than I'd expected. The car burst into flames. I stood there watching it, thinking I'd never hear his mocking laugh again. More important, Christopher Grayson Incorporated had only one stockholder again.
Darling, where were you all day? I called you twice.
No one answered the phone.
Well, I was out, darling. I saw my publishers. They like the publicity I've been getting. They want another book.
Oh, dearest, that's wonderful. Would you like to kiss me now or later?
Oh, Carol, I love you. Beyond words. We'll be happy together. We must. We'll go away somewhere. Somewhere far away.
The Riviera? Monte Carlo?
Anywhere you say. I'll sell the rest of the paintings tomorrow. Then we'll go away. The next day, I sold them all. Maggard fondled them like an ecstatic lover. As for me, the check for $100,000 felt very, very good. Thursday morning, I cashed it. Then, after reserving 2 tickets on the plane for Rio, I drove up to the cabin, the money under the front seat. I reached the cabin about 2 o'clock. I unlocked the door slowly. Grayson was on the cot. He was staring right at me, the drunken, stupid fool. I raised my gun. I took careful aim.
Well, D.A., quite a case, huh?
I should say. Ingenious fellow, the Silton. How'd you catch him?
We didn't.
I don't get it.
You see, D.A., it's my theory that 6 years ago, Grayson staged his own death with his wife's help.
What?
He took out a $25,000 insurance policy, then disappeared. We know that. The burning could have been faked. Some derelict, maybe.
Now, wait a minute. How about his wife's suicide?
She could have been murdered.
Murdered?
That's right. By Grayson. Decided to grab all the insurance money for himself, killed her, forged the suicide note.
But what about his amnesia?
Amnesia? What amnesia? Hilton thought he was using Grayson. Well, actually, the shoe was on the other foot.
Imagine how Grayson must have felt. He'd become famous, but after he was dead. By this time, his money was gone.
Yeah, after all, 6 years of living, wine, women. Maybe he was even robbed. Who knows? Anyway, he couldn't show up.
Sure, he might have a murder rap pinned on him.
That's right. Now, Maggard called us this afternoon and said that he'd been swindled. The paint wasn't 6 years old under microscopic examination. So, we traced Hilton to his Catskills cabin.
And?
And we nabbed Grayson, making a getaway with a gun and $100,000 in his pocket. Hilton was inside with 3 slugs in him. Lived 20 minutes.
Murder in the cabin.
Tonight, the Philip Morris Playhouse presented Murder Needs an Artist, produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Our star, Vincent Price, will be back in a moment for a curtain call.
Tonight should have seemed like typecasting to you, Mr. Price, what with the time you spend in real life in the art world.
It certainly did, Johnny. I felt right at home. Tell me, what's this I hear about Coronet Magazine's June issue, which will tell everyone about your Philip Morris Playhouse?
Well, Coronet is giving us a nice write-up and calls our producer, Bill Spear, the maestro of the mic. How about that?
Well, I must see that. And in the meanwhile, who's to be your guest next week, Johnny?
Howard Duff, the Sam Spade of the mic, who's going to be chased for a change. But before you go, Mr. Price, may I present you with this carton of Philip Morris cigarettes. And thank you again for another exciting evening.
Thank you, Johnny. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Price.
Now goodbye, Johnny. See you next Friday, same time, same station, when once again we will present the Philip Morris Playhouse, starring Howard Duff. Until then... Vincent Price will soon be seen in Curtain Call at Cactus Creek, a Universal International Technicolor production. Tonight's original radio play was by Alec Chorney and John Hobbish. Music on the Philip Morris Playhouse is under the direction of Lud Gluskin. All names and characters used on this program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This is Art Ballinger saying goodnight for Philip Morris. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.